a funeral. The funeral was Thursday, and just precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It was a holy experience, so precious to me, taking in this funeral, taking in Evelyn's passing, and her testimony. I just stood amazed and blessed. And it's sorrowing, yes, and it's difficult, but when the question this morning was posed, what are you rejoicing in this week? Well, we're rejoicing. Evelyn is with her Lord. And hallelujah, praise the Lord. On another note, I've been having this prayer request, unspoken request, and it came out this week with Ari's cancer. Thank you for praying, and continue to pray as we learn more of this. So pray for Joy, for her peace, and the whole family. And let's look to the Lord in prayer. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this precious portion that you've given us to look into this evening. I pray your help in guiding through it, the thoughts of your Holy Spirit to speak to us, to the needs in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, that we would not just know them, but that we would submit, surrender to them, obey them, and do them. Father, just praise you for the blessing of your word and of your salvation, your light that we can come to see through the Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life through that light in your Son. So, Father, just pray your help now as we delve into this portion and learn what you have for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that last song just sounded anointed and just blessed my heart just to be singing of it. And I want to start off with the verse that we started with this morning, Jeremiah 9, verse 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Do we really understand Jehovah God, the creator of the universe, of everything? We even know the awe that he is. That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And I put a footnote in my Bible, the things that the Lord delights in. And that is pretty much the title of what I've given this section in Ephesians 5, 1-17, is who are you pleasing? Who am I pleasing to live? For self? For Christ. And on this Father's Day, am I living for pleasing my Heavenly Father? So in this passage, as we get into it, it kind of divides into three sections. The first couple of verses and our example in Christ, and then how we shouldn't live, and then back to instructions on how we should live. So this passage has a bunch of pronouns. It's thee, thou, ye. And the word ye in the King James is, in Indonesian, we had two different words for you all or just you in person. Those are two different words. Ye here stands for all of us. You is singular. We don't have that in this passage. But this passage is talking to me, to you. Paul's writing this for us in person. And these 17 verses have them, thou, thee, like 15 times. So this is for us. And that's as well in the passage. So as we get into verse 1, Dan finished off with chapter 4, and we have, it talks about forgiveness. And that is such a big issue in our lives. If we have non-forgiveness, it turns into bitterness. And the therefore in chapter 5 reflects on how God has forgiven us. How did God forgive us? Well, it says in verse 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted. This is how God forgives us. In the essence of his love, he is kind to us, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And there's different thoughts that come out from chapter 4 that'll extend right on here into chapter 5. And the word walk comes out in Ephesians numerous times. I was going through the Bill McDonald's commentary. He mentioned 7. I could only find 6, but one of them was I was looking for walk, and one was ed, had the suffix on it that I was missing. So at any rate, there's 7 times through the letter of Ephesians, it's once per chapter, that our walk. And I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance, and it's to walk about, to tread all around, walk at large, to live, to deport oneself. Thought that was kind of interesting. We deport oneself from walking in the flesh to walking in the Spirit. And this is in the Spirit of Christ. So we're going to learn and what this is on. And that really depends on your surrender, submitting to this instruction as a follower of God. Because you are God's child, this is saying, be like God. In other words, imitate God. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you received the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Then imitate, live your life as a child of God. The moon doesn't reflect some other light. It reflects the light from the sun. We are to be those reflections of God. And I had a bit of problem with this word a number of years ago. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. And we'll read the next verse as well. It's part of this. And walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling savor. Now this word in other Bible, be followers, therefore, like imitators. I didn't like that word. It's, are you an imitation? Are you the real thing? This is kind of how it came across to me. Well, it's, we are to reflect Christ-likeness, God-likeness, and mimic is the actual Greek word that comes out in Greek. So we are to mimic Christ and be that follower of God. And we are his dear children. And that dear comes back to the thought in the end of chapter 4, being tender-hearted. This thought comes out numerous times through this chapter. It doesn't appear on the surface like that, but it does. Walk in love. This is a huge word, as Christ also had loved us. And as we get into this, the thought of my heart, the past, when I was asked to speak on this, was the song, I'm my beloved and he is mine. And we're all about that I've got salvation, he is mine. Am I all about that I am my beloved? Am I living for him? Am I surrendered to him? That's the hard part. It's easy to take, and receive. The other is for us to give and be that presentation, that surrendered life that God wants us to be. And he gives us an example. In Galatians, here it's the Lord Jesus Christ, but also back in Galatians 4:13, we are by love to serve one another. And there's more later on in this chapter on that. But also Galatians 4:16, to walk in the Spirit. We're not called to do this of our own power. We have this strengthening when we surrender to God's Holy Spirit. It's His power that's working through us. So, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Our example is Christ, and hath given Himself as an offering. And we've gone through the Gospels. We see how Christ lived, and then a sacrifice. Well, sacrifice speaks of death. Well, we also maybe don't physically die, but we have to die to flesh, to self. And this word offering is, Jesus took time to heal the leper, to even touch him, tenderly touch him, and heal him. And this word offering isn't a blood offering, blood sacrifice. It's the offering of our time tenderly. And the word tenderly comes out in the Greek there. This word offering is taking time to serve each other, taking the time to love on each other. Jesus took the time to go place to place. And as busy as he was, it was in tenderness and love. And then we get to the thought of he was a sacrifice to God. That's a blood sacrifice. He gave his life. And this sweet-smelling savor, there's numerous ways that we can sacrifice. That's of our time, of our energies, of our... there's a sweet-smelling savor. This is another way. In verse 18 of Philippians 4, it says, Paul is saying, I have all, abounded, and I'm full, received of Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Our finances, and given from a joyful heart. So there's numerous ways the scripture talks about us as a sweet-smelling savor, and as we read from Jeremiah 9. Then we get into this section of things not to do. And I just as soon skip over this, but I'll read it. There's a couple gems in the middle of them, and we'll just get into them. But fornication, that's sexual immorality, and all uncleanness, and that would refer to sexual jokes, just vulgar, or covetousness, desiring what someone else has, let it not be named once among you as becometh saints. And it's neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. This comes back, the gem here is instead of you or I being known for dirty jokes or for filthiness or living sexually immoral, we are to be known by giving of thanks. Verse 4, we read in Thessalonians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, that for this is the will of God concerning you. And what is it? Give thanks. Verse 5 then, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. And this kind of ends that section that I've broken it into. Now, this verse 5, it's almost a repeat of what was just said. A whoremonger, unclean person, that's right back to verse 3, nor covetous man, that's also verse 3. Well, it expounds this, nor who is an idolater. So here we get the one is the walk, and the one is the talking of it. So in verse 5 here, it's saying that who is an idolater? One that has an idol. And the sensuous man has no limit to greed. Greed is a lust. And covetous is lack of contentment, whether it's for car, tractor, business, money, fame. The Ten Commandments get into the neighbor's wife. It's a lack of contentment where I am in life and what I've got. And Timothy talks to us about contentment with godliness is great gain. Well, the word godliness there, you're looking it up in the Strong's, means righteous living. So contentment with righteous living. This passage gets talking a lot about righteous. And if we are coveting, we're not content. And it's sinning against God. Anyway, these people will not have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And I kind of felt I was on a snag here. The inheritance, my stepmom just passed away, and if my dad would pass away, there may be an inheritance. Well, what's an inheritance? Something that will be passed on from, say, my dad's funds to all of us as children. So it's a gift. And it's something also that if the gift is put into an account and a check is made out to us, but I never go to the bank and cash this check, it's never of any good to me. Well, a lot of us as Christians are doing the very same thing spiritually. We never have God's gifts or never fully realize God's gift of love, joy, peace. This is what I ask for prayer for in for joy. Ask for our daughter Joy to have peace in the situation she's in. Mary's going through it right now with Wallace, that we would have peace and consolation. Well, we can have these things if we, as it were, cash in the check. Well, the inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God. And in looking at this some time ago in with their young people, this is huge. The kingdom of God and of Christ, this is the only time that this is put together that I know of in Scripture. I couldn't find it anywhere else. And in a way, the deity of Christ here is equal to God. That's what this passage is implying. But also, we are now living in what I call in union with Christ is our invisible kingdom in Christ. Our union, our walk, our surrender is where we get our love, joy, peace. All these gifts disappear. And the previous chapter talked about every one of you has got a special gift that God gives you. And I pray that you would know what that would be for your life. And as we got involved with missions, we found ourselves to be gifted with helps. We are of helps. In various places, we could facilitate what was happening, say in the Moy tribe, building the runway, whatever was needing to be done, and I would just gladly be there to do it. And that gift gives you joy when you're expressing itself to the Lord. You're not doing it for man's sake, man-pleasing. No, you're doing it as to the Lord. And that is pleasing to the Lord. Well, the inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God, going through Matthew, the word kingdom comes up about 78 times, between 70 and 80 times in the New Testament. And of those times, kingdom of heaven, only Matthew uses kingdom of heaven. Well, one was said that I heard, well, when you take that phrase and just say in Christ, that's all. It's a very simple way of looking at it. But in the kingdom of Christ and of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God, that's Matthew 6:33, and his righteousness, the right way of living. And all these things will be added unto you. And I pray that you are experiencing that in your life. And we stepped out and by faith experienced that for ourselves. All the things that we needed, everything. I remember sitting in the pew here a number of years ago and looking at myself, everything I'm wearing, I didn't pay a single thing for all of this out of my funds. My vehicle, wherever I went, the plane tickets, the Lord provided for all that. That wasn't of my own finances. That was the Lord. And seek first the kingdom of God. That's walking in Christ, surrendered in union to Christ. This is what this is saying, to be that reflection, as it were, of the sunlight of Jesus. And then another verse, there's numerous verses here that comes out about the kingdom of God, and I'm not going to get into them all. I'd written a bunch of, but living our lives is a moment by moment, day by day, union with Christ. And in this part, we get, it says, who is an idolater hath, it says, verse 5, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance. So I call this section reward denied. They are missing out. And then not only that, there's in the funeral the other day, we had the front benches that were reserved for us as family. Well, that was wonderful. Well, what's reserved for these people? The wrath of God. That's a terrible thing to be reserved for. And none of us want to be there. So the verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes on, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. This is a very sad reward that's reserved for them. And I find myself working in the shop a number of years ago that these people talk that this life in the flesh is the way to live. Well, this passage is saying don't repeat these actions, speech, and don't even associate with these people that do. That's sexual morality, lewdness, jesting, in double talk, in language, and all the time when you're in the shop, in a worldly shop, that's what they're talking, double talk. And these people, they try to deceive others around them. And I listened to this. I heard this myself, that it's okay to live the bar life. It's okay to pick up a opposite sex, have multiple sex partners, live like the world does. That's okay, but it's not. It's not okay. Instead, God's wrath is abiding on these people. So the gem here is verse 4, but don't let this be known of you, but that you are a person that is thankful, that no matter what the situation is happening, you are thankful. Moving on then into verse 8, for ye, here we have, like, this is about the fourth or fifth, maybe the sixth time that you and I, all of us, are spoken to, but ye, all of us, all of you, were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. And the ironic thing is sometimes that you were in the dark. No, God looks at you and me before salvation as darkness. And the darkness is the absence of light. Well, now you are light. It's not you are in the light. No, you are light. And the admonition here is walk, live as sons of God, live as children of light. This is something that we only have in God's power, being born from above, as John 3 talks about when Jesus talked there with Nicodemus. This is something that we cannot do of our own selves, and it's something that other people see of us. And as we get into the verse 9 here, the fruit of the Spirit, and this word also, fruit, is the reaping of a harvest. Now, we've planted beans, we've planted corn, and now the corn is popping up through, getting up to be about a foot high. And what you sow is what you're going to reap. Well, when we are children of light, this harvest that we'll get of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And truth is something that the world doesn't understand, and they reject what is truth, what is in Scripture. We have it in the last chapter different times. To me, the highlight of the truth in the last chapter was speaking the truth in love. How often do I intentionally live out speaking the truth in love in my home to those around us, those that I'm in conversation with? But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This growing up part is a process, and that's, I see in my life, that is a process. It didn't happen the day I met the Lord. It didn't change everything in my life. I'm still learning. I'm still finding things that made the Lord sad. So back to our verses in chapter 5 here. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Now, there's sometimes we don't know, say exactly what job you should be taking on. You've got two or three options. They're all available. And the pay is all the same. The conditions are comparable. Which one do you choose? And there's an aspect here of trial and error. You may not know exactly which job, but God's going to guide you, and we have to trust him in that. And that's faith. Living the life of faith is not by sight. Now, on the funeral, faith, forsaking all, I trust him, was what was mentioned by the speaker. Well, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and this is in light of God's principles, right living. When you have a decision, and when I had something perplexing over the years, and I couldn't decipher what's the answer, I would just take the Bible, this book, open it anywhere, and read. Read, read, read. And the Lord would open my eyes to the answer. It always came. And of myself, no. It's God's word speaking in a spiritual way. And I pray that you would also have know God's will. So to walk in the Spirit then is doing the will of God. And in this trial and error part is sometimes we need to be tenderly forgiving, back to verse 32, when it was mistaken. I'm learning as well as little children. So verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So it's like here we get a bunch of positives and negatives, as it were. We'll get on into them, and they go right on into the later verses as well after this. But having fellowship is that longing of friendship. And say, I've got a friend that's in the car business or mechanic business, but he has a problem with drinking or some other. Well, I am not to have fellowship with these unfruitful works of darkness. And the neat thing is about the light's going to shine into his life. If I'm living surrendered to the Lord, that light is going to shine into his life and make him feel guilty or make him feel longing for what I've got in the love and the joy that Christ is giving me. So in that way, we are showing the light in the darkness. And also, it says here, but rather reprove them. And I found when working in the shop years ago, there was these pornography pictures hanging around in the lunchroom, in the workshop. And I went to the guy that hung them out there, and I found out he was a Lutheran guy. He was a fellow Christian. And he was having this, promoting this, and he was becoming all the guy's friends in the shop. And I was remonstrating him about this, that this is wrong. This is something holy to the Lord. And he couldn't see that eye to eye with me. But after some time, all those calendars, they all disappeared. I didn't have anything to do with them other than reproving this young man about having these lewd pictures hanging around. And then in these next few verses we get into, it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now it's even to the point that it's a shame for me to talk about them from the pulpit, about these things that are being done in secret, because it defiles your mind. Say if I would have a testimony of how the Lord rescued me from a life of darkness, well, then you would start thinking of me in a whole different light. And I had a young fellow one time come to me, and he says, oh, Bert, I'm so ashamed of the life I've lived. And he wanted to tell me all about it. And I said, don't. I know you in Christ. I don't want to hear anything different. And he didn't. And I didn't want to hear of his past horrors as much as what they might embellish the flesh, that it would spoil, it would defile my way of thinking of him. And so we shouldn't do that either. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And I would say in our basement, there's only a couple lights, and there's a couple corners that you don't really see. Well, if you take a look under the cellar steps, well, all of a sudden, you put this flashlight into the corner. Wow, you see the dirt that's there. Well, that's what our Christian lives do to this world. And that's great, because the next verses say, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now this is talking about a person that's dead. This is a person that is sleeping, to me, has not realized their sinfulness, they're born in sin. And me as a young lad at 20, 22, that I heard for the first time and understood for the first time that I was the lost sinner Christ died for and put my faith in his blood. And I ask you of the audience here, have you recognized that you're the lost sinner Christ died for? And great if you have, but also then grasp hold of and apply the blood of Jesus that you would be saved. This passage is saying, awake. And there's many times growing up, I heard the story of Jesus' death on the cross. And it just, over time, it just kind of went in one ear and right out the other. It just bounced off of me. And finally, it was the Spirit of God that opened my eyes to realize that in God's eyes, I was in Satan's camp, and I was a prisoner there. And there's nothing. I was trying to live as please the Lord the best I could with my life. But it was the flesh. That is no pleasure at all to the Lord. The passage says, and Christ shall give thee light. Look to Jesus, wherever you are right now, in your mind, look to Jesus for light. So then in the wrap-up here, verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. And circumspectly is to be disciplined. And I've said to the Sunday school class in the past, life is a discipline and a test, as it were. And we don't like discipline. That's something that we kind of get chafed by. And even Abraham, that was difficult for Abraham to offer up his, he was tested there, his son Isaac. And really, discipline is your friend. Discipline is my friend. And it's a friend here to be living a disciplined life. Circumspectly means with exactness, with diligence. I heard some time ago a fellow prayed, Lord, help me to walk intentionally for you. Wow, I never heard it, that phrase put that way. But perfect or perfectly was what the Strongs came out with. Intentionally planned with goals for a harvest of fruit. And as a farmer, I want to say that, well, I have a passage here I want to look up and read. Matthew 6, verse 19 and 20. Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth. And this, keep in mind, live intentionally this way, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. This is how we're to live intentionally, where moth and rust doth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So live in a planned way. And I would look at a field. We have crop in the ground, and there's this low spot that was having trouble with producing crop. So I was getting very little return for the labor, and it was kind of dying out. And I know it's low, and the water, the surface water, is just coming to that. Well, intentionally, I take a look at that. Where's the tile? And I go fix the tile, and the tile was the problem. There was a tile right underneath it. It just wasn't hooked up to the header. So it's just slowly seeping through. Well, that is living intentionally to improve the yield of that piece. And that, to me, applies to we fix the problem, as it were, or get it drained. Well, we live intentionally holy, righteous lives. And also, as we're growing the crop, we eradicate the weeds, anything that's a competition to the fruit or to our harvest. So in the spiritual way is avoid the pitfalls of the flesh, of bad company, of vulgar language, of immorality. These are all a loss to our reward. Verse 16 goes on and says, redeem the time. We'll get back to Ephesians 5. And redeem is the idea of buying back. And we see that in the story of Ruth, and we see that in our salvation. As it were, we stepped out into Satan's camp through Adam, and Christ bought us back. Well, why do we redeem the time? Because the days are evil. I've written down here, rescue from loss. Buy it up. Find ways to improve our opportunities. It has the word to, there's an opportunity there, make use of it. And in light of that, there's a couple of verses from Ecclesiastics that talks about 12 verse 1, that remember the Lord in your youth. And that's so crucial. Redeeming the time, we have this window now that we live in, and for us to make good use and time of our time that way. I'd like to read these couple of verses from Ecclesiastes 11. Cast thy bread upon waters. So in other words, try many ways of, say, witnessing, of talking to your neighbor. For thou shalt find it after many days. This is living a life of faith that there's going to be reward for the seed that's sown. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. So, and then 12 verse 1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth while the evil days come not. So here's this window of time that dad looks at me, boy, it's great to be young. Here I am 65, he's 90 almost. And he says, no fun getting old. He's got joint pain. Well, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And then for our last verse, we have, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And there's one verse I want to close here with, and that's Colossians 4, that living in wisdom, 4 verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, again, redeeming the time. And I'll read the next verse as well. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. So there's numerous verses about doing the will of God, understanding what the will of the Lord is, and I want to wrap that up with how to please the Lord with our lives. And we are, it's lovely to say, I am my beloved, he is mine. It's easy for me to grasp what's mine. Am I living for my beloved? And I'd like for us to sing that song, number 85 in our red hymnal. O Christ, he is the fountain, number 85. And the last verse, verse 3. Oh, I am my beloved's and my beloved's mine. He brings a poor vile sinner into this house of wine. I stand upon his merit. I know no other stand, not even where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land.